The Senate please come to order. And the clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson. Bates. Bates. Bonamici. Bonamici. Boquist. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin.
When's he going to say?
Dingfelder. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. Ferrioli. George. George. Gerard. Haas. Haas. Johnson. Johnson. Cruz. Cruz. Metzger. Mons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Nelson. Brzezinski. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Starr. Telfer. Telfer. Berger. Berger. Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Whitsett. Winters. Winters. President Courtney.
Peter.
Yes.
This thing we're doing on the 14th.
Yes.
Are we going to do like normal stuff, courtesies and all that sort of stuff?
Well, no. We're just planning. We might pass a resolution, but we weren't. We didn't talk about doing all that, but we haven't talked about all that.
I have an issue.
What's that?
I know it's Oregon's birthday, but there's a more important birthday on that.
Uh-huh.
That's my wife.
Well, then just we're trying to figure out how many people will be here.
And so, I was wondering if there was some way we could get the Senate to sing happy birthday to her, or would that be appropriate? Or?
Well, why don't you talk to Ted and talk to Richard, and we'll go from there.
Okay.
All right? I'm not against that. Can we do that, please?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
A clerk, a quorum being present, we will post the colors, and we're going to post the colors, my fellow senators. That's
what?
I guess we have to do what you do when there's a fire alarm, please, my fellow senators. Would everybody listen and please leave the floor? I'm doing the best I can. We gotta go. We gotta.
Boquist? Burdick? Burdick? Carter? Devlin? Devlin? Dinkfelder? Ferrioli? George? George? Gerard?
I want to make sure I don't screw up. Is this Jezreel?
Hass?
Jezreel. You're right, Jezreel.
Johnson?
Here.
Cruz? Metzger? Montez Anderson? Monroe? Morissette? Morse? Nelson? Nelson? Przanski? Rosenbaum? Rosenbaum? Schrader? Starr? Telfer? Berger? Walker? Walker? Whitsett? Winters? President Courtney?
He is here. A quorum is present, so we're going to post the colors. Please listen. Following the posting of the colors, Senator Ferrioli will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Then Jezreel Harper from the Earl Boyles Elementary School in Portland will sing our national anthem, followed by the invocation by Pastor Dr. W.G. Hardy from the Highland United Church of Christ in Portland.
So proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land
Thank you, Jezreel Harper, President Courtney, and to each of you. As we prepare for the invocation, we're cognizant of where we are and the audience of whom we stand in the presence of. Keeping in mind before we pray, that Martin Luther King made a speech on August 28, 1963, at the Washington Monument. January 20, 2009, the first African-American president gave this inaugural address. If you calculate the days and the distance between the Washington Monument and the steps of the White House or the Capitol, and you divide it by the number of days between Martin Luther King's speech and Barack's address, it comes up to 7 inches per day. Let this be a reminder as we pray. The movement was 7 inches per day, but yet and still, during that time, significant change has occurred in America. For this we are grateful and we pray. Shall we bow our heads? To God, Lord of creation, the God in this whom this country trusts, we invoke your presence upon this session as it opens, upon the hearers and the doers. As legislation goes forth and as deliberations take place, we're thankful for those who step across the aisle to consider the needs of both parties. We're thankful more so, Father, for those who step out of the comforts of their boxes and reach out into neighborhoods and communities unlike those that they are commonly familiar with, to establish relationships so that we value the diversity that is represented in the creatures you have created. I pray and ask for divine wisdom and judgment upon these that have to endure sessions. We pray for their strength, Father, and that they have the wisdom to carry out the needs and advocate for the concerns of your people here in Oregon. We pray for your blessings upon them, both now and forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Senator Farioli, for leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Jezreel Harper, for your wonderful rendition of the national anthem. Did a great job. Thank you. And thank you for Pastor Hardy for your invocation as well and for your joining us here today in your state capitol. Honorary pages, Sarah Lamati, Adrian Strait, Savannah Sarate, Ariana Alt, Patricia De La Certa, and Cab Ryan are here. These are pages. They do invaluable work here on the floor and throughout the day to help us get through the session, and we're grateful that each of you have come here today. I think I had an opportunity to see you earlier today out in the hallway, so thank you for coming to your state senate. I would like to welcome today all the nurses and nursing students from all over Oregon to our state capitol. We believe there are nurses here from each of our senate district, and on behalf of all my fellow senators, all 30 of us, we welcome you to your state capitol. It's a very big honor and privilege to have you not only come to the capitol, but to those of you who are in the chambers today, it's also a special honor. I had the opportunity to speak before at least 500 of you about an hour ago in another location, and I'm very glad you have now journeyed to the capitol. This is your capitol. Have a good day and come back and see us again. Recognize Senator Carter, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I'd like to welcome Dr. Hardy, who grew up with my kids and a good friend of the family. And also, you guys heard Ms. Williams sing in our last session, and now we're seeing her bring along the next generation of her grandchildren in singing as well. So I really, really want to welcome them here today, and thank you so much for your wisdom and your words, and we invite you to come back again at some day soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Carter. Senator Monroe, please.
Yes, Jezreel Harper, of course, goes to Earl Boyle's Elementary School, which is in the David Douglas District in the heart of District 24. I've, you know, tried to sing a little bit in my life, and I know that the Star-Spangled Banner is one of the most difficult songs to sing, and what a powerful rendition this young man gave. I know there's great things in store for him. The David Douglas Elementary Schools all have an excellent vocal and instrumental music programs. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Senator Monroe. Recognize Senator Larry George.
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask that courtesy of the Senate be extended to one of our colleagues, former State Senator Rod Johnson, who is joining me at my desk. Senator Johnson served both in the House of Representatives and in the State Senate in the 1990s. And when I was a young lobbyist in the building, Senator Johnson was a chair of the committee that most of the bills that I worked on went through, taught me a great deal about the process, was an inspiration for his passion that he had on issues, and his ability to push things through the building, I don't think has been surpassed in a number of years. Little did I know that some 12 years later, that in 2008, he would become my father-in-law, as Senator Johnson is the father of my wife, Jessica. And so last March, he became my father-in-law. It's been a huge honor, and I ask the courtesies be extended to Senator Rod Johnson. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator George. Welcome to the floor, Representative Johnson, Senator Johnson. It's a privilege and honor to have you come back and take care of us. Thank you for mentoring Senator Larry George, and I hope you like your son-in-law. Senator Jackie Dingfelder, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also would like to welcome, although the good senator from my adjoining district already did, but Pastor Hardy, I wanted to thank him for his inspiring invocation. The Highland United Church of Christ is in my district, District 23, and I just wanted to thank him for coming here today and sharing that very inspiring invocation.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Lori Modest Anderson, please.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you for welcoming all of the nurses that are here today. As you know, nurses are the backbone of the healthcare industry, as far as I'm concerned, and they're very vital to our nursing, actually our healthcare system. But I would like you to extend courtesies to my nephew, Jake Monis. He is a nursing student in his junior year at OHSU. I'm so happy to have him here with me, and am so glad that he is going into a wonderful profession.
Thank you, Nurse Senator Lori Monis Anderson. Jake, hope you're having a good time, and hope that you have a good day here. It's an honor and privilege to have you in the floor, and also has recognized you as part of all the nurses here today. So, great profession. We need you badly. Just need a whole lot more of you. Thank you. Recognize Senator Dr. Bates on this day. Might as well say that.
Thank you, Mr. President. I too would like to welcome nurses here. You know, nurses' job is to take care of patients and keep doctors out of trouble, and they do a great job at it, and I appreciate all of you who have done that for me over 30 years of my practice. I'd also like to take an opportunity to welcome my guest today, Ari Ettinger. He's a third-year student from Washoe a college in Wisconsin. He's a native of Portland. He's going back to school, I think, next week. He's been serving as an intern for the last month with Claudia Black on the governor's staff in issues concerning DHS. So welcome, and I hope you enjoy your day here. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Senator Bates, Larry, glad you could be with us. Good luck to you as you complete your junior year, I believe, and your senior year, and I hope that when you get through your education, you'll come back to Oregon, my Oregon, and be part of our people. Thank you. Further courtesies, remonstrances. Senator Farioli.
Mr. President, thank you. Mr. President, I'd like to offer all of our colleagues an opportunity to become joint sponsors of Senate Joint Resolution 15. Mr. President, in 1849, the incoming administration of President Zachary Taylor offered Abraham Lincoln the governorship of the Oregon Territory. It is said that Mrs. Lincoln didn't fancy moving her family to such a remote place, but Lincoln's decision may have been based more on the politics of the time than the remoteness of the area. Had Lincoln accepted this appointment, U.S. history would undoubtedly have been different, but still, Lincoln's imprint on Oregon is significant. While Lincoln is primarily remembered for his role during the Civil War, he was a supporter of several major pieces of legislation that helped form the state. The Morrill Land Grant Act, the act responsible for founding Oregon State University, a terrible error in my opinion, Mr. President. The Transcontinental Rail Act, this act helped the Coast to Coast Railroad be built. That opened up the West and Oregon. The Homestead Act, which allocated land to settlers all throughout the West, including Oregon. I'm here to ask today that we recognize the contributions of Abraham Lincoln that were made to this state and the nation with Senate Joint Resolution 15, and we would like to ask all members to become full sponsors of this legislation. The original Oregon Territory consisted of all or part of the states of Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming. And similar resolutions are being adopted and introduced by those legislative bodies, and we're hoping that they all can be passed on the bicentennial date of February 12, 2009. So I'm going to circulate this sheet, which will allow members to become principal sponsors of this legislation, memorializing what might have happened if Abraham Lincoln had become our territorial governor. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Ferriola. You recognize Senator Jason Atkinson, please.
Mr. President, you never really know what I might say when it comes to remonstrances, and I just want to build upon what Senator Ferriola has said. Some of you have seen me walking around with a TV camera, and what I'm doing is I'm making a film about the Oregon Senate and about our 150th anniversary and the history of the building. And I have this really great intern who works for me, who I always keep him on his toes. And the question I asked him the other day is, that I want to ask you, Mr. President, what caliber gun, Derringer, was Abraham Lincoln shot with, Mr. President?
I do not know what caliber gun that he was shot with. I do know it was a pistol from behind, and I do know, though I could tell you all the details, which are pretty grisly, but I do not know the gun that shot him.
Abraham Lincoln was shot by a .44 Derringer. While I was recovering from being shot by a .38 Derringer, I got a postcard from Abraham Lincoln saying, "It really stinks to be in the front of a Derringer." Anyway, Mr. President, in this movie, I have outlined the only two things I have in common with him. His wife didn't let him be governor. The people didn't let me become governor. He was actually killed by a .44, and I'm still around. So maybe we've got some good history, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Atkinson. Recognize Senator Jeff Cruz, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, on your desk today is a letter I had distributed. It's an editorial from Congressman Peter DeFazio on cap and trade, and I would suggest that you all read it. It's very reasoned and very to the point.
Thank you, Senator Cruz. Recognize Senator Rosenbaum, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, also on your desk today, you will find an invitation to a really fun and fruitful event happening tomorrow morning. This is the biennial kickoff of the Women's Health and Wellness Alliance package of bills. Although the Women's Health and Wellness Alliance does not go back quite as far as 1849, it does go back as far as 1992, and in all those 17 years since that, women and men, advocates and legislators have been coming together to promote some of the most life-saving and important legislation that we have ever passed here, including things like annual mammograms, which was one of the pivotal bills that I know Senator Winters remembers well. So we hope you will join us tomorrow morning in Hearing Room 50 at 7:30. This breakfast is paid for totally by your colleagues, so it has been cleared with the Ethics Commission. There are no issues, and we hope that you'll be there to partake and hear about our bills for this session. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Rosenbaum. Are there further remonstrances? Messages from the Governor, please.
To the Honorable President of the Senate of the 74th Legislative Assembly, attached to the list of the Governor's appointments to state boards and commissions subject to Senate confirmation in the manner provided by ORS 171562 and ORS 171565. These appointments and reappointments are submitted for your consideration and will be effective on Senate confirmation. Sincerely, Ted Kongowski, Governor. State Board of Higher Education, Kirk Schuler.
You should pass the President's desk for referral. Message from the House.
Mr. President, majority by Speaker, the form of the House has passed House Bill 2233, 2284, 2312, 2321, 2157, 2202, 2292, 2323, and 2365.
Messages, reports from conference committees, reports from standing committees, in accordance with the SR 8.551 committee report summary number 9 was distributed to members today. This information recorded in the Journal of State's report and is so ordered. Reports from special committees, propositions and motions, actions on executive appointments requiring the Senate confirmation, introduction and the first reading of Senate measures.
Senate Resolution 1, urging Governor to withhold deployment of Oregon National Guard to Iraq or Afghanistan. Senate Bill 434 relating to minimum lot size. Senate Bill 435 relating to marginal lands and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 436 relating to land use planning for areas of critical state concern. Senate Bill 437 relating to exclusive farm use zones. Senate Bill 438 relating to regulation of credit unions and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 439 relating to tax increment financing at rural airports. Senate Bill 440 relating to taxation and prescribing effective date. Senate Bill 441 relating to education and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 442 relating to university consolidation and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 443 relating to commission for providing school improvement services, property money, and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 444 relating to hazing. Senate Bill 445 relating to bonds.
Needs to transmit to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Bill 86 relating to extradition. Senate Bill 183 relating to taxation of demolished property and prescribing effective dates. Senate Bill 197 relating to student law clerks, public utility commission, and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 323 relating to electronic submission of reports to legislative assembly and declaring emergency.
These are past the calendar. We're now on to the third readings of Senate measures. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 14 relating to Oregon Patient Safety Commission.
Recognize Senator Alan Bates, who will carry this measure.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 14 removes the sunset on the Oregon Patient Safety Commission. Many of you may not be aware of the Patient Safety Commission. It has been put together in 2001 to deal with errors that occur in nursing homes, hospitals, and ambulatory care centers. The level of errors that occur in these situations is something that we've been working on nationally and in the state for over the last 10 years. The level of errors is unacceptable. It hurts Oregonian patients, and this is our answer to that issue. This allows two things to happen with the Patient Safety Commission. The first one is that it's a repository for errors. In the past, when I worked as a chief of medical officer at two different hospitals, we would have errors occur. There could not be discussion of those errors outside that hospital setting. It couldn't be dispensed to other doctors, other institutions, so they knew what the error was and have a chance to correct those errors. This allows it to happen in a way that tort is not involved and people are more open about reporting those. Safety Commission also has started initiatives to start decreasing those errors before they occur. A good example of that is tagging patients going to surgery and tagging the body part that's going to be operated on. We have other issues, of course, objects left inside people during surgery, and there's many issues we're working on trying to make the hospitals, nursing homes, and ambulatory care centers safer. So I would strongly urge your yes vote on this bill. We need to make this a permanent commission. We want to take the sunset off it so they can go forward and do the work, the good work they're doing, and continue in the future to make Oregon a safer place for patients. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Bates. Recognize Senator Laurie Montes Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I, too, am in, would encourage a vote on Senate Bill 14, and I would like to just let you know what the Oregon Safety Commission actually has done, just a couple of examples of what they've already done, because it is promoting good homegrown quality improvement work. For example, the Mount Hood Legacy, Mount Hood Medical Center, it's a hospital in my district, had published a summary because they had great success in eliminating ventilator-associated pneumonia, it's VAP. And the hospital now has gone 2.5 years without any ventilator-associated pneumonia in their medical surgical critical care unit. The process they have are using or implementing has now been shared with the Oregon Safety Patient Commission, which then shares that with the other hospitals that are on board. Another was an expert work group offering strategies for reducing risk of retained objects after surgery. This has been a problem of scissors, claws, etc., being left in patients. And so this issue came to light as really there were a number of cases reported to the commission. And so now they are reporting the recommendations that this expert work group came up. So this is an extremely important commission, and I urge an aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senators. Is there further discussion? Not Senator Bates. Do you wish to close? He does not. The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 14. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
George. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson. Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. President Courtney. 30 ayes.
Senate Bill 14, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 268, relating to rules of the Chief Justice concerning data that state courts may collect.
Chair recognizes Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Novelist Aldous Huxley said that the author of the Iliad is either Homer or, if not Homer, somebody else of the same name. He needed Senate Bill 268. Senate Bill 268 authorizes the Chief Justice of the Oregon Supreme Court to make rules on the data that state courts will need to distinguish a particular person from other persons of the same name in the state's new court case management system. The Oregon Judicial Department is in the brave new world of implementing its e-court initiative, and under that initiative, the courts will move from a case-based management system to a person-based management system. This system will allow the state courts to link together all of the cases in which a particular person may be a party. And this will be a valuable tool in criminal and other cases, and also bring efficiency and effectiveness in court operations. Senate Bill 268 will allow the Chief Justice to develop rules for collecting information necessary to create this person-based system and for protecting the confidentiality of that information. I urge your aye vote on Senate Bill 268. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senators. Is there further discussion? Chair recognizes Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Will the carrier yield to a question?
Will the carrier yield to a question?
I will, Mr.
She
President.
Will.
Thank you.
Mr. President, will this bill allow the court to utilize the Social Security numbers of the parties to the case as identifiers?
Mr. President and Senator, I believe that this bill will allow the Chief Justice to consider the use, but the Chief Justice will need to consider the confidentiality of that information in implementing those rules. That is my understanding.
A further question, Mr. President?
Another question, Senator? Would you address another question?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President.
Yes, you will.
I will.
Will that confidentiality be at least as secure as the confidential information held at the Oregon Department of Transportation?
Mr. President and Senator, I'm certainly not able to answer that question. I do know that the bill provides that the consideration needs to be given to the confidentiality of the information.
A further question, Mr. President?
Senator, would you address another question?
Absolutely, Mr. President. I'd be happy to.
Go ahead, Senator.
Mr. President, will that data be at least as secure as the information that is held at the Department of Motor Vehicles?
Mr. President and Senator, I'm not able to answer that question either. I can only repeat that I know that the Chief Justice will be considering the confidentiality of the information as the rules are promulgated.
A further question, Mr. President?
Further question, Senator? Senator, would you address a further question?
Yes, I will. Thank you, Mr.
Go ahead, Senator.
A new provision of the bill, Mr. President, says that the data that is made confidential under the rules is not subject to disclosure under ORS 192.410 to 192.505. Will the carrier please describe what are the effects of ORS 192.410 to 192.505?
Mr. President and Senator, I'm sorry, I have not memorized ORS 192.410 to 192.505, but I am convinced that the Chief Justice will be considering the confidentiality of the information as the rules are promulgated.
Senator, you still have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I've had the ORS delivered to the good senator's desk, and I'll repose the question. What are the effects of ORS 192.410 to 192.505?
Mr. President and Senator, I'm sorry. I'll look for this. I'm trying to remember if there was a bill that I saw recently read about hazing. I'm looking forward to the debate on that bill when it comes before us on the floor as I'm looking to. Okay, ORS 192.410 provides, that is the definition section of public records. Is there a particular part that you are interested in, Senator Ferry?
Mr. President, the sections inclusive would be sufficient. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President. Question of the carrier.
Will the carrier yield to a question?
Yes, absolutely, Mr. President. Thank you.
Yes, go ahead, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just find this incredibly confusing, reading the actual bill, which is a rarity for many of us.
That was a joke, okay?
Where it, on lines 19 and 20, it uses the term persons three times. And I'm confused as to what definition each use of that word will have in law.
Thank you, Mr. President and Senator Cruz. It is my understanding that under this bill, person, and person will all be interpreted the same way because they're used in the same sentence in the same particular bill, which has nothing to do with the song of People Who Need People.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, hazing in the House is so much more fun because they aren't prepared for it over there.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Senator Bonamici, do you wish to close?
No, I do not, Mr. President. Thank you.
She does not. Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 268. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Miles Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. President Courtney. 30 ayes.
Senate Bill 268, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 270, relating to courts and court emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President. My apologies to the good senator from North and Northeast Portland for putting my back to you, and hopefully you won't ask me any questions in this. Colleagues, the Senate Judiciary Committee brings you Senate Bill 270 on a unanimous vote. There is no revenue impact, no fiscal impact. Senate Bill 270 is a housekeeping bill from the Oregon Judicial Department. It contains various statutory changes intended to improve court administration and efficiency. The bill covers three broad areas: procedures during emergencies, fee and collection procedures, and judgment procedures. There was a discussion on the emergency clause or an objection, and the reason the emergency clause is in there is because this deals with an emergency. We do recommend a yes vote and pending your questions.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Boquist, do you wish to close?
No, Mr. President.
He does not. The question now arises on third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 270. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Miles Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Morris. Nelson. Brzezinski. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker.
Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Gerard. Not answering. Burdick.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
Senate Bill 270, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 271, relating to fees of the Oregon Tax Court.
Chair recognizes Senator Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 271 is a housekeeping bill brought to you from the Senate Judiciary Committee, and it's regarding the Oregon Tax Court. This bill clarifies when filing fees must be paid to the tax court, and it makes clear practices that are long established in that court. This bill does not affect, let me repeat that, does not affect the amount or nature of the fees that are charged. This bill codifies the longstanding practice of paying fees upon filing, making this knowledge more widely available to the public, and bringing tax court practices in line with the Oregon Circuit Courts. This bill also clarifies that the Chief Justice can establish fees for the tax court. Again, this would simply codify established practices and bring the tax court in line with the circuit courts. These fees would be within the same limits and for the same services that the circuit court collects fees, such as bounced checks, and it would only apply to services where the legislature has not already established a fee. This bill does not bring about a radical change. However, it does improve the judicial system in incremental ways and enable it to operate more smoothly and ensure a quick response to the public. So for these reasons, colleagues, I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator, do you wish to close?
No.
She does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 271. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Brzezinski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum. Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Aye.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter.
Aye.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Gerard. Gerard.
Aye.
Hass.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
Senate Bill 271, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 54, relating to certified statements of payroll records for public works.
Chair recognizes Senator George.
Good bill should pass.
Thank you, Mr. President. Oregon's prevailing wage rate law requires all contractors and subcontractors working on covered projects to file certain payroll records. Contractors and subcontractors must complete a certified payroll for each week a worker is employed on a public works project, but the statements are submitted only once a month. This can cause problems for some contractors because of the language in the present statute. Current statute language assumes contractors pay workers weekly, but many do not in practicality. The statute requiring contractors to report on actual wages paid in a week causes difficulty for employers who do not have weekly pay periods, but rather pay monthly or biweekly. Senate Bill 54 changes language and required the weekly certified statements of payroll records from actual wages paid to gross wages earned. Changing the language to gross wages earned allows weekly reporting, but does not require that wages be paid weekly. Senate Bill 54 has the approval of Boley's Prevailing Wage Advisory Committee, came out of committee unanimously, and I urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Not, Senator, do you wish to close?
No.
He does not. Question now arises on third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 54. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prasansky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Dingfelder. Farioli. Farioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. President Courtney. 30 ayes.
Senate Bill 54, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. And colleagues, we're going to go to 12:15 today, so we'll see if we can get another bill or two in, then we'll be adjourned by 12:15. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 97, relating to loan cancellation life insurance.
Chair recognizes Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to take a second here to apologize for not being here Monday. Many of you know that I was personally testing out the public transportation systems in Oregon with planes that didn't land, trains that ran late, and buses that ran late. The IMAX was on time. The rest of them all failed, and I got here after 14 hours later from leaving Medford at 6 a.m. It was a great day. So thank you for putting these bills forward for me. Senate Bill 97 is a simple housekeeping bill. This concerns loan cancellation insurance, life insurance, which is basically insurance issued to veterans that allows them to buy the insurance. In the case of their death, the insurance pays the mortgage on their homes. This has always been done by the Veterans Administration here in the state, but in actual fact, legally, it has to be done through DAS. This just moves from DAS over to the Veterans Administration, which is where it actually, in fact, has been done for the last years, as far back as we can determine. DAS is in favor of the bill. The Veterans Administration accepts the bill, and this makes it simpler and more straightforward for veterans to obtain the insurance against their mortgages. So I would ask you for an aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator, do you wish to close? He does not. Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 97. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. Clerk will call the roll.
Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prasansky. Prasansky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. President Courtney. 30 ayes.
Senate Bill 97, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 235, relating to small states.
Chair recognizes Senator Boquist.
And the judiciary, this bill comes to the Judiciary Committee with a unanimous vote. There is no revenue impact, no fiscal impact. SB 235 amends the current law to expand the number of estates which may take advantage of simplified procedures and avoid the full probate process. It does not exchange any of the, does not eliminate or change any of the existing protections, and I urge a yes vote.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Boquist, do you wish to close? He does not. Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 235. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Pozanski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Yes.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dinkfelder. Farioli. George. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
President Courtney. 30 ayes.
Senate Bill 235, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read our final bill of the day.
Senate Bill 237, related powers of attorney.
Chair recognizes Senator Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's my lucky day. I get to be up here twice. Senate Bill 237 is brought to you once again from the Senate Judiciary Committee, and it's about providing individuals with greater freedom to choose how to manage their lives during an emergency. This bill would clarify the law so that a power of attorney can spring into effect when a predetermined condition, such as a disability, occurs. And this bill would allow families to avoid costly living trusts and free the court system from having to appoint conservators. Let me share one example for the need for this bill. Consider an aging individual who is in good health and fully capable of managing their own affairs. Such an individual may wish to avoid immediately appointing someone with the power of attorney. Under this bill, that individual could prepare for an emergency by outlining who would gain power of attorney and under what circumstances. Colleagues, in a majority of states already expressly permit springing powers of attorney as outlined in this bill. This bill will resolve any legal ambiguities regarding this legal power and provide greater freedom of choice for Oregonians, while not affecting any current protections for financial institutions. For all of these reasons, I urge you to vote aye for Senate Bill 237.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator, do you wish to close? She does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 237. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Yes.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter.
Aye.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Farioli. Farioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Gerard. Gerard.
Aye.
Hass.
Aye.
Johnson. Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Mons Anderson.
Aye.
President Courtney. 30 ayes.
Senate Bill 237, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. If there is no objection, the remaining third readings on today's calendar will be moved into the Monday, February 9th calendar. First reading of House measures.
House Bill 2157, relating to connection to federal tax law and prescribing effective date. House Bill 2202, relating to unemployment insurance hearings. House Bill 2233, relating to commercial driver training. House Bill 2284, relating to correction of erroneous material in Oregon law. House Bill 2298, relating to donated leave. House Bill 2312, relating to recognition of business entities formed by tribal governments and a court emergency. Senate Bill, House Bill 2321, relating to Department of Corrections. House Bill 2323, relating to property offenses. House Bill 2365, relating to novelty lighters and court emergency.
Transmitted to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of House measures. Third reading of House measures. Other business of the Senate. In accordance with SR 8.40 sub 3, committee referral list number 24 was distributed to members February 2nd. Referral list number 25, 26, and 27 were distributed on February 3rd. The referrals will be recorded in the journal and status report. So ordered. Announcements. Chair recognizes Senator Atkinson.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Mr. President, it's a thrill for me to announce that today at 2 o'clock, the very first meeting of the 2009 session of the Floyd McMullen Fire Brigade will be meeting in the secret lair. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, sorry I don't have anything as exciting as that. Senate Democrats, get your lunch and be in the caucus room at 12:30.
Thank you. Are there further announcements? If there are no further announcements and without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 11:15 a.m. Monday, February 9th.